We sort of finished up our lesson in tongues last Sunday. But the last lesson that we did was on the tongues at the household of Cornelius. And I thought that this would be a good way to finish up the tongues when it finished up with Cornelius, was to ask the question, why did God choose Cornelius? He was the first Gentile to come into the faith. If there's one thing that we know about God, He doesn't roll the dice. He doesn't wake up one morning and just make a decision. All of these decisions were made before the foundations of the world were laid. That's what the Bible said, that salvation was set up before the foundation of the world was laid. So that meant salvation coming to the household of Cornelius, coming to him, was determined beforehand. And God doesn't determine the man, He determines the plan. The man accepts the plan. Cornelius accepted what Peter said to him was why Cornelius was saved. God knew that this was going to happen. I mean, God knows when it's going to rain and when it's not going to rain because He makes it rain. And so certainly God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Case in point, He has a day when Jesus is going to come back. He knows when that is. He knows where the sun's going to be. He knows what the temperature's going to be, where the wind is blowing. He knows all these things. I just want us to understand that because God knew that salvation was coming to the household of Cornelius, He didn't pick Cornelius out of predestination. Cornelius responded to the gospel that Peter brought to him, and God knew that he was going to do that. But with all that being said, why did He choose Cornelius? Luke 3:14-16. I want us to look at evidence that Scripture gives us about a centurion. The centurion, a certain centurion. And the only centurion really that we see, I think there's one or two others, but there's only one that we see that Cornelius is brought out and the gospel is brought to him. I think this shows us evidence of who this centurion was, and it gives us evidence of why God chose Cornelius. Luke 3:14-16, likewise the soldier asked him, it was a certain centurion, it's mentioned in there if you read it, I can't put all the verses up there, saying, and what shall we do? And so he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now this is not something that was normal. These soldiers bullied people into giving them more money. They held them hostage by the authority that they had over them, what they could do to them, to their life, to extort money and things from them. And here this centurion told them, do not intimidate or accuse falsely and be content with your wages. Now as the people were in expectation and all, including the soldiers, reasons in their heart about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered and said, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so here there were soldiers around, and John has talked to them, and you see that one of the things that John said about the Christ that was coming was that he was going to have authority. And so you'll see later that'll be important, because this had to be learned somewhere. And not only did it have to be learned, but it had to be accepted. See, authority is something that people recognize. And if they don't recognize it, then it doesn't take away the authority, but it takes away the respect from others. And you'll see that Cornelius was a well-respected man because of the authority that he carried and how he used that authority. John the Baptist had authority and how he used that authority. And then Jesus had authority. So when people who are in authority see someone else that has the means and has a power over another, rule with mercy and with truth, then they understand that they are using that authority well. But this centurion realized that the one John was talking about, the Messiah that was to come, would have authority. So you have to ask yourself, when these soldiers were here with John, who was this soldier that reasoned in his heart about the Christ? He was obviously concerned with what he was doing, because he asked, "What shall we do?" And he was told, "Do not intimidate or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Correct? He was obviously concerned with how he lived and how he acted. And this was a soldier, and he was asking John, a religious person that was teaching of the Christ, "What do you think we should do?" So he's seeking the wisdom of God. And when he's told these things, does he apply them to his life? I don't know. We have to see the type of man that Cornelius was. So was he one of these soldiers? One thing's for sure, we see here that John told these soldiers that he had authority. And one thing that this centurion, this soldier understood, the one that John preached about, which was Jesus, he would have authority and he would have power. We go on to Luke 7:2-5. "And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick, and he was ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him." He didn't go. He sent elders to the Jews of the Jews. So that meant that this centurion, whose servant was sick, had a reputation among the Jews. And we'll see later why. But when he heard that Jesus was healing, he sent the elders to plead with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom... Now this is the elders going to Jesus of the Jews. They said about this centurion, they begged Jesus to come to him, for he was deserving. "For he," the centurion, "he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." Here was a soldier that was actively... I don't know how to say this. He was actively trying to do the things that was worthy of a God that he saw. And these Jews came to Jesus and they pled with him, because he was a Gentile, and they pled with him and said, "Please come and heal this centurion's servant, because he," the centurion, "was near and dear to us." So this centurion, this soldier, had a reputation among the Jews. This was not a common thing for a Roman soldier to do for a Jew. You go to Acts 16:20. I should have turned there. Had it all ready. I didn't. All right, Acts 16:20 says, "And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.'" You see, this is the attitude that Romans had towards the Jews. They were a menace. They were a menace. But not this soldier. Not this soldier. And here's another soldier that says, "What shall we do?" Asking John. Now, isn't it possible that these are the same people? That because this centurion, this soldier... sent word about his servant being sick to plead with Jesus to come, because he knew that the one that John preached about, which was Jesus, had authority and power. And so he pleaded with him to come. We don't have evidence in Scripture that it was the same person, but it certainly is possible for this to be the same centurion, isn't it? See, we're trying to build a case of why that God picked Cornelius. And you know what Cornelius was? He was a soldier. He was a centurion. And if this could have been the same person, then we can ask in the next few verses, was this the same centurion? And we look and we see all these cases of all these good things that the centurion did, how he saw Jesus and how he respected the Jewish nation because of the God of Israel. And then if we can put a name on that centurion and call him Cornelius, we can see why God would have reached out to Cornelius. I won't argue the fact if you don't believe this is the same man. But there's evidence in Scripture to show why in the world that God chose one man among the Gentiles. Luke 7:6-9, that Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying, now I want you to understand, we saw what was common for a Roman to look down on a Jew and to see them as a nuisance. This was not this attitude. His attitude was, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy. Where did he hear that he wasn't worthy? John said that. John, who preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, how could he do that? He did it in water. It was based on the promise of Christ to come. How did John, when this centurion went to him and said, what shall we do? And he took John's answer and he saw John with the man with the answers. John said, I'm not worthy. And so when Jesus was heading to his house, this centurion said, Lord, do not trouble yourself. I am not worthy. Same guy that heard John that asked the question. Same guy that did for the Jews. I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Do you know why he said that? He was a Gentile. And do you know the way that the Jews saw the Gentiles? They shouldn't be with them. It was not lawful for them to be with them. And Cornelius respected his place. Do you know that when the woman came to Jesus and he said, do away with this dog. Not Jesus, but the people around him said, do away with this dog. And the lady said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs will eat the crumbs under the master's table. And Jesus was pleased with that saying. And this was the attitude that this Roman soldier who had authority over the Jewish nation because they were in captivity to Rome, his attitude was, I am not worthy. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Do you really think our attitude is that we are not even worthy to come to those who serve God to ask? That we would humble ourselves and the opinion of ourselves that much that we would think that we're not even worthy to come to a servant of the Lord to even ask anything. This was a Roman soldier who had authority over the Jews. This soldier had to have learned this stuff from John because he's speaking verbatim of the things that John taught. I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. And here's where we see the authority that John said that this man had. So he had to learn it from John. He says, but say the word. You say the word. Because he saw Jesus as a man with authority. And he says, my servant will be healed. Do you believe that? Do you have that much faith in a God that doesn't even recognize you yet? Cornelius said, you say the word because you are the God of Israel. And if you say, my servant will be healed, he will be healed. Because you have authority in this instance, not me. Do you realize the Gentiles weren't even recognized by the God of Israel? Scripture says that there was a time when the Gentiles were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel and alienated from the covenants of God. And while this man was in that position that he was alienated from the covenants of God, he bowed low and he says, I'm not even worthy. You just say the word and he will be healed. This is a soldier, a centurion. This is a man that had to have seen Jesus as the Son of God. There's no other question. Why else would He react this way? Why else would He see Himself so unworthy? He tells them, He says, I understand your authority. He says, I am also a man under authority. And listen to what He says. That He's, remember, He's doing this and He says, Jesus, you say something, it's going to be done because I'm under authority. And if I say something, it's going to be done. He says, I understand authority. I say it, you do it. And He says, you are the Son of God. I mean, He doesn't say it here, but He says, you say that my servant is healed and he will be healed. He says, for I'm also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at this man. Not the first time that he marveled at someone outside of the faith. And he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. He recognized that the reason that this centurion did this was because he believed in what John preached about him standing there. Jesus knew that this man had faith. He said he did. He says, I've not found such great faith. And what was the faith? That Jesus could do, that Jesus could work miracles? Yes, I understand that. He was asking for a miracle here, but the faith that he had trust in is who Jesus was. Because of who Jesus was is why he had the authority he had. He had to believe that he was the Son of God, having the authority of God Almighty to say a word and it was done. He recognized the God of Israel as the one having the authority, not even himself. I'm talking about the centurion. Remember the centurion who was present while John was baptizing? He understood that the one whom John preached about would have authority. And when Jesus came, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. John showed that Jesus was the one that he preached about. And so the respect that these centurions and this soldier had when it was asked of John, what shall we do? Was transferred from John to the one that John preached about. And that was Jesus. Go to Mark 15, 38 through 39. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And so when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last. He was there at the cross when Jesus died. And he said, truly this man was the Son of God. I want you to understand something. You might have thought that this was a normal saying, right? You might have thought that everyone would have seen Jesus as the Son of God because of who he claimed to be. It wasn't a few hours before this that these soldiers, I don't believe he was one that did it, but he was there at the foot of the cross. There were soldiers that nailed Jesus to that tree. They didn't believe they were nailing the Son of God to the tree. They believed they were nailing just a normal Jew to the tree, but not this centurion. He saw that when Jesus died, the things that had happened, the things that had followed him in his ministry, the things that he had seen and witnessed with his own eyes, and he confessed before men, he said, truly this man is the Son of God. You know, Peter made that confession. That's what the Messiah meant, the anointed one, the one that was sent, the Son of God. He said, truly this man is the Son of God. Is this centurion that we see that was with John and asked John, you know, what shall we do? And was concerned about how he lived and what John told him, he taught his men. the one that said, "My servant is sick," and he pleaded, he went to the Jews and asked them to send Jesus to his house. And the Jews pleaded with Jesus, saying, "This man is worthy." And when Jesus met him, he said, guess what? "This man has faith greater than even Israel had." And this Gentile was someone who was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and estranged from the promises as of yet. And then when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he made the proclamation, the centurion, truly this man was the Son of God. Is it not possible that this was the same man that we saw, because we saw his heart was a one of reverence towards the God of Israel and of Jesus Christ? Now, I won't argue that it wasn't the same man, but Scripture gives us evidence truly this was. And so when you look at this centurion and you see the faith that he had in God, the belief in willing to change how he acted based on what John said, and he followed the one that John said he was preaching about, he reached out to him, and when he showed up, he proclaimed that he was not worthy and that he was a man under authority, the way that just like Jesus was under authority, and he said, "You just say the word." Isn't it possible that these are the qualities that when we look at Cornelius and God said he remembered? We'll see that in a minute. But isn't it possible that these are the things that God remembered about Cornelius? John 17:45. Jesus said, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." You see, all of this was established before Cornelius, before the prophets. I mean, all of this was established. You don't think God knows your heart? You don't think God knows that there was a time in your life when you were rebellious? That there was a time in your life when you were willing to do what satisfied you and not what satisfied Him? And you don't think that God sees that you still struggle with these things? God knows our heart. God knew that Cornelius loved Him, but there was not yet a place made for Cornelius. But there was a place promised for the Gentiles to be brought back into the faith. Because at one time we were all Gentiles. Until the Jews were called out until Abraham was called out, until the nation, the 12 tribes of Israel, there was a time in Abraham's day that there wasn't the 12 tribes of Israel. There wasn't the law. The nation wasn't born yet through Moses. The Bible says that nation was baptized into Moses when they crossed the Red Sea. When that nation, the 12 tribes of Israel, their descendants came and it produced the Israel of God, the nation of God. That's when that nation was born, when they were baptized into Moses. There was a time when we were all considered Gentiles. But then God called out a certain people so that they could bring forth the seed of Christ, and there would be no question that Messiah came from God, because he came from God's people. But there was a place promised for the Gentiles, but there was not yet one made. When Jesus was lifted up on that tree, this centurion that we just read about, he saw his glory, and he confessed that this was the Son of God. Could Cornelius be that centurion who represented the Gentiles, who would accept Jesus as their Lord and obey the gospel by being immersed? One thing's for certain, Cornelius did these things. When Peter came to him and he preached the gospel message, Cornelius accepted it by choice. Cornelius, pull it up here. You start in Acts 10, and of course I can't read it so much. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Remember, there was a certain centurion. There was a certain soldier. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. This is the type of man that we saw in these soldiers and in these centurions. This is the type of heart that we saw the first Gentile to come into the faith, and why he learned these things, because he believed what John said. Enough that he would ask, what should I do? I'm a soldier, I know the things that I do, what should I do? And John told him. And here about the ninth hour in Acts 10:3, it says, the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him saying, Cornelius. Don't ever think that God doesn't hear the prayers of a sinner. You would be crazy to think that, because who were we before we came to God? Who are we now? Are we not still sinners that have been forgiven and saved by grace? The fact that we're a sinner, has that changed? When we were immersed and our sins were washed away, Paul himself said, I am the chief among sinners. And he says, when I stand before you on judgment day, paraphrasing a little, he said, but why am I still judged as a sinner? The reason is because our blood won't save anyone. We are forgiven people by the blood of Christ. Cornelius was praying. We saw the things. I've just read them. And an angel came to him. God recognized that prayer. He didn't save him by that prayer. So don't ever let anybody say that the water baptism was for the Jews and prayer was for the Gentiles. He told him, that angel said, you go to Peter. And what did Peter do? Peter preached the gospel to him. And what did Cornelius do? Go back to the day of Pentecost. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Cornelius received the word of the gospel. He accepted the word of the gospel, and he was baptized into Christ. Acts 10:4, when the angel came, Cornelius was afraid. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial, which means a reminder before God. What was God reminded of that Cornelius had done? Was God reminded that he built a synagogue for the Jews and that he prayed and that he gave alms generously to the people? You know, there's people that probably would love to do things for God, but they can barely do for themselves. They're just making it day by day. The fact that he built a synagogue, that was just, he had the ability and he did it. What about with people who want to change their lives? And this is important. There's people that want to change their lives. You know, you can clean up your life and you don't have to do anything with God. I watched a person that I was friends with, and I've said this story before, but he was married, he had a wife, and he had a new child. He would go across the street and sleep with the woman across the street, and then come back home to his wife in the middle of the night. You know that he cleaned up his life a little bit? He didn't know anything about God. He came to a place where he said, I can't believe I did that. I won't do that anymore. Now, he was my friend, and we ran in the same circles. You think I'm innocent of anything? And I can freely tell you him, because he's not standing up here, but probably wouldn't tell you the things that I did. Cornelius asked John and said, what is it that I can do that you would approve of. And Cornelius, and then John said, don't bully the people around. Don't force money from them. You take what's necessary and then leave them alone. You don't have to have God to do what's right. You can read a little bit of scripture. You can read, things that are good morally, and you can clean up your life. Personally, I think God remembered those things. He remembers, He sees all the things that we do. But not everybody can build a synagogue. Not everybody has that authority to try to help someone. They can barely help themselves. So it's not what He did with His money. It's not that He had authority. It's not that He was willing to clean up His life. Personally, I believe that when Cornelius saw, and I do believe it was Cornelius, when he saw Jesus die, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. It broke his heart. I believe God remembered that confession. John was sent into the world to prepare the way of the Lord. And you know who also that included? The Gentile world. Now, even though the Jews were there, there was obviously Gentiles there. But the Jews that believed in John's message probably were the majority of the Jews that were baptized on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Those that were baptized by John were probably baptized by the apostles. We don't have 100% proof of that, but they accepted John that Jesus was the one to come, right? And then you see on the day of Pentecost, those people were baptized. Isn't it possible that those Gentiles that heard the teachings of the Lord, and certainly this centurion who said, "This is the Son of God," that they were baptized into His name, believing that Jesus was the Son of God? And so when God looked down and He remembered those Jews that were baptized by John, certainly He would have remembered the Gentiles that saw Jesus as the Son of God. Right? There was a lot of things to be reminded of that Cornelius could have done. We read about them. I won't go over them again. But I really think the thing that God was brought up for a memorial is that Cornelius, if given the chance, was willing to accept Jesus as his Lord. He wasn't given the chance, but if he was given the chance, I will take it. Cornelius was praying for forgiveness. Cornelius was praying for salvation. Cornelius was praying to be in a right relationship with God. And God promised, one day I will extend my blessing, my forgiveness to the whole world. And I believe this is why He chose Cornelius, because of the things that we see in Scripture. Of course, I just asked the question, what is it that God remembered? Cornelius building synagogues, Cornelius at the foot of the cross. I believed He remembered that confession. I am willing to accept Jesus as my Lord if you give me the chance. Because surely this man that John preached about, that I saw die, surely he was the Son of God. Through Cornelius, God remembered all the Gentiles who had gone before, whom also had a heart for God. And this is why He sent His Son into the world, not just to save the Jews, not just Cornelius, but He did this to save the whole world. If you don't believe that Cornelius was the centurion, that's fine. Okay, God remembered something about Cornelius. And that's why He brought him into the faith. But he was the first Gentile to come into the faith. And he represented all of those from the beginning of time as God started to call out His own people. Cornelius represented those that were willing to serve God if they were given the chance. You know, we look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we see that line that go, but you know that Job? We talked about that this morning. Job, where does Job fit in? Where does he fit in? Job is the picture of God including the whole world into His plan. Because Job doesn't come through the seed of Isaac, the seed the seed of Jacob. He doesn't come through that lineage, but certainly when you read Job, Job knew God, and guess what? God knew Job. I think it's a no-brainer. I didn't always know this. This was one day I saw certain centurion, the centurion, and looking at Cornelius, and you know, God puts this stuff together, and you start searching and looking. I mean, I wasn't given answers. I was looking at Scripture, and I had to dig to put this stuff together, and Larry had to dig to put this stuff together. I mean, we worked together to find answers. And God showed us, what did God remember about, I mean, Scripture showed us, what did God remember about Cornelius? Certainly, he remembered the things that we see from these other centurions. If he wasn't the same one, he certainly saw in Cornelius a heart that sought to honor the Jews at that time. A heart that considered himself unworthy to stand in the presence of Jesus. Certainly these are things. And certainly if a centurion confessed that this was the Son of God, then God would have looked at Cornelius and he would have seen certain attributes that he would have had in relation to Jesus and the cross and the things that happened. What is your mindset towards God? Do you believe that God has the kind of authority in your life that Cornelius did? That's very important because every Lord's Day we get up here, whatever, and we offer what they call the hymn of decision. It's time that you've heard the message. We've been around the table, and if you're not a Christian or you're stuck in sin, God is pulling on your heart, and they're crying out for you to make a decision. Come forward and be immersed. Come forward and seek comfort. Come forward and ask for forgiveness. Rely and trust on one another. Do you have the kind of faith to believe that because God said it and you submit to it, that it'll happen in your life? Do you have that kind of faith? That when He said to you, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, do you believe that Jesus forgave you of your sins? That He had the authority to do that? You see, how we see Jesus is very, very important with the authority that He has from God. The reason we can't change the gospel message and tell them because it's easier, just say a prayer, and we know that you can't come to church, you're living with somebody, and you're all these things that are tolerant of sin, and we become tolerant of those. We can't change that message. We can't be tolerant of the things that God is not tolerant of, because that message came with authority from the Father, and Jesus taught it to the apostles and they preached it. We do not have the authority to change that message. And so when we give out that message to repent and be baptized, do you have the faith to believe that God saves you through that message? Through obedience to that message and to that walk of life. Because let me tell you, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible doesn't stop at immersion. It says, and they continued steadfast. God always expected that baptism, that immersion, to produce a walk in you. Do you have the faith to walk that walk? Cornelius, when he was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers, a stranger to the covenants, he had that kind of faith. And now, because of Cornelius, we've been accepted into the faith. God accepts anyone that will respond to that gospel message. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?